I think this kind of one camera thing is more applies from my experience with local news magazine programmes, again, that there's less and less of. But that's the area where new entrants, give them a EX1, out they go, bring us some footage back. And that's certainly the case with the BBC. They're using that as a kind of training exercise, stuff that's going to go up on a website that, you know, they're not too bothered about how wonderful it looks. It's just a kind of way of, in the multi-platform age, of getting some sort of product out there. I mean, when was the last time somebody rang up YouTube about the technical deficiencies of the skateboarding cat, parrot, or whatever it might be, and it just doesn't happen. So I think that's it. But I think there's still resources within television. Whether or not they choose to spend it is another question. But certainly the way television has moved on and the way reality TV has given it that huge kind of kick up the arse to make programmes where you can have a researcher following somebody round. You know, it's going to be handheld, it's going to be a bit wobbly scope. That becomes part of the patina of the particular piece. Those things do make a difference and do move the medium on, whether or not they move it in a positive direction or not. These things happen because more hours to fill. I think at one point people thought that somehow, you know, when you only had three channels, four channels, you know, programming finished at 12 o'clock, that somehow that overall budget to make those however many five dozen programmes on a particular night, pretty much the same budget in real terms, is now covering God knows how many stations, God knows how many hours, 24/7 broadcast, and consequently budgets have been crushed, rates have been crushed, and apart from a few of the top end dramas or documentaries, it's just not there anymore. Projects that I've kind of wanted to film and make on my little PD150 or whatever, the fact that DV technology enables me to at least record those. I mean, what you end up is like a big archive of things, of projects that never quite get finished, because you're also then thinking I've got to learn to edit them or find some money to pay someone to edit. Now, the fact that you can do that on a medium that's at least kind of acceptable currently for web use is all well and good. Because although on the one hand I'll be wearing my trade union hat, people should be paid the rate, and when I've worked in television, I've always, you know, insisted that I've got the rate. What I also want as a filmmaker is to be able to make things that I want to make without having to jump through 6 months of negotiations with the screen agency or with the Arts Council that would much more productively be spent researching and building relationships and actually shooting footage of something that I want to make. So in a way, it can be a liberating thing. And I think what the liberation that digital video brings to us in whatever format is the possibility that you could go and revisit a story and shoot over a long time period. Now, as an individual artist or a creative person, I should say, that's a really liberating thing to be able to do that, to my mind. So I think that notion that, you know, certainly if you're working in the industry and if producers are getting commissions and being paid money, then as a worker, you want to get your fair share of that. But as an individual producer, director, filmmaker, call it what you will, it's also quite nice to feel as though you can, even though, you know, I don't earn good money, but you can indulge some of your passions, even if they never really see the light of day.